Well, good morning, everyone. What a fine bunch you are looking out. And I assume the same is online, although one can't see. It's great to have you here this morning. All together, what day is it today? Palm Sunday. Excellent. It's great to see you. Just a couple of notices to kick us off. You're going to need the link this week because there's so much going on and I'm not going to go through all of it. So all of the Easter activities are listed in the link. Paper copies at the back, electronic copies in your inbox. Please do look through them. Let me just highlight for you open spaces today at 3 o'clock. That is at St. Mary's Churchyard. The praise evening tonight at Barnwell Baptist Church at 7 p.m, so no prayer meeting tonight. Also come to the prayer stations Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, and particularly for our Maundy Thursday service, if you are able to read at that service, Liz would be very grateful if you could let her know. And the other notice is the I'm Alive course, which we've seen some great trailers for. That's going to start on the 7th of April. That's a Sunday evening. So do be thinking, praying about who you can invite along to that. It's going to be a great time. Okay, that's all the notices. They say that men don't often cry. It's not always true. And in fact, from personal experience, I had a bit of a cry this morning, actually. A lot of things going on in our family. Charlotte's going to share a testimony later, which will be very powerful. But for me, I was running along. Don't worry, I didn't hurt myself. It wasn't a cry of pain or anguish through that. But I was listening to worship music, and a couple of lines came along from two different songs that I thought I'd share with you. The first one, you can guess the song. And whether our tomorrow be filled with good or ill, we'll triumph through our sorrows and rise to bless thee still. I just think that's so true. And the other one I had, take from our lives the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Amen. It is important that we're here today. We gather as the people of God to do God's business. So I'm going to hand over to Charlotte on that note, who will lead us in our songs.
Well, good morning, everybody, from me as well. And we're going to begin with a few words of liturgy before we start singing. So if we all stand, if we're able to, and I'm going to say the words in the white, and we'll all join together with the black ones. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. And all who fear God say, his love endures forever. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. With the Lord on our side, what can we fear? What can humankind do? Hosanna to God, hosanna in the highest. We shall triumph over those who surround us and stand in confidence in the Lord our God. Hosanna to God, hosanna in the highest. The Lord is our strength and our might. The Lord has become our salvation. Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest. As the people spread their coats and palm branches on the ground to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, so we welcome him into our lives this morning. King of glory, King of peace, servant King, reign in our hearts and lives this day and all days, that we might praise your holy name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We turn.
Lord, please do be seated.
Good morning, everyone. As you can see, I'm not here with Clive today. You're a donkey. Donald the donkey. Donald? Well, a warm welcome to you, Donald. He says thank you. So, Clive, I mean Donald, are you here to share something special today? But it's not cake. Donkeys don't eat cake. Only grass and oats and carrots. It's very sad for the donkey, but lucky for the rest of us. Yes. So, can you tell us what it is you want to share with us? You want to share your story. It's written down. And will I read it? Do you want me to read it to everyone? Okay. This is Donald's story. Donald was tied up outside his owner's house, just minding his own business, as much as any donkey can mind his own business, when two men came along and untied him. They told his owner that the Lord needed him. Donald was surprised that the owners allowed the men to take him, and he wondered who the Lord was. It was Jesus. Yes. Read on and we'll find out. So the men spread their cloaks on Donald's back and Jesus sat on him. Donald had never been ridden before and it felt very strange, but he sensed that Jesus was someone special. He was the Lord and Donald knew that he would not harm him. They rode along the streets and it was very busy as they came into the city. Donald had never seen so many people before. He thought it was a bit scary. But he stayed calm because the Lord was with him. People were running in front of Donald, and some of them threw their cloaks on the ground, and others cut down palm branches and laid them in front of him. These made a carpet for him to walk on, and it was much softer for his feet than the hard stones. It made Donald feel very special. But he understood that it was really for the special person who was riding on his back. Then the people started shouting and waving palm branches in the air. It made Donald jump a bit, but he kept steady. And the people were shouting, "Hosanna to the King! Praise the name of Jesus! Praise the King who comes riding on the donkey!" And Donald realised that the Lord Jesus riding on his back must be a king too. You felt very proud. He was very kind and very gentle. But some other people in the crowd were cross. They were the religious people, the Pharisees, and they thought they knew best about everything. They said that Jesus should stop the people from shouting praise. But Jesus said that would be impossible. There is so much happiness here that if the people stopped praising, then even the stones in the street would jump up and shout for joy. Donald felt really happy too. It was a very special moment. All the people were praising and all the branches were waving, and he could hear the birds joining in the song. And he would have loved to have seen the stones jump up and join in the praise too. Donald felt like dancing. But because he didn't want to startle King Jesus, he just brayed loudly to join in the praise. It was a moment that Donald the donkey will always remember. The day he carried a king on his back. The day he met the Lord of all heaven and earth. Is that the end? Well, it's the end of Donald's story, but it's not the end of Jesus' story. We know that the people who cheered so loudly turned against him. And within a week, he was put to death. That's really sad. Yes, But after 3 days, he came back to life, and he is still alive today. Because he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is indeed. And what a joy it is to know that we are loved by the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And we can praise him too. We can praise King Jesus and welcome him into our cities or towns or villages. And we can welcome him into our homes and into our lives. We can all praise the King of Kings. Yes, all people and donkeys and even stones and orangutans. Yes. But thank you, Donald, for sharing your story with us. You don't want to be Donald anymore. Donald is a donkey, and donkeys don't eat cake. And it's nearly cake time. Well, let's take your mask off then, and we'll say goodbye. Goodbye from me, and goodbye from Clive, and goodbye from Donald. And we'll see you again next time. Have a good week and be blessed.
So we are going to say the Lord's Prayer together. And I'm going to do the actions. And this week, I'm going to see if I can get them right. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So in a few moments, the children are going to leave us. But before they do, Charlotte is going to come and share a testimony with us, which reveals something of the greatness of God.
Hello again. As many of you will know, the last 4 or 5 months have been a really tough time for us as a family. We've been continually upheld by the support and prayer of lots of you, and we're so grateful for that. And I'd like to share something specific this morning, which I hope will be an encouragement to all of you. For about 6 or 7 weeks, I've been suffering with enormous pain. I first thought it was just a crick neck, then it developed from my neck into a frozen shoulder and has resulted in almost constant pain extending through my shoulder, upper back, down my arm and into my hand. I've spoken to doctors both on the phone and in person, lucky me, visited osteopaths and physios and been prescribed some seriously heavy duty pain medication, which has made me extremely sleepy and unable to work properly. The tablets didn't seem to be touching the pain, and I was becoming more and more worn down and desperate. On Tuesday evening, I went to house group, and I'm embarrassed to say that my prayer request somewhat took over the rest of the evening. I shared about my pain and a few other things, and that I'd really reached the end of my tether with this seemingly endless string of trials. I just couldn't take any more. Everybody prayed for me while I snuffled into a lot of tissues, and Diana anointed my forehead with oil in the sign of a cross. I got into the car to drive home, sobbing and in a real state. Spent the 10-minute journey praying one of the rawest prayers I've ever prayed, crying and almost shouting at God that I'd simply had enough. On Wednesday morning, I woke up with no pain at all, but took it with a pinch of salt, as it tends to get worse as the day progresses. I went to work, taught my lessons, reached lunchtime, and realised I still hadn't felt any pain. As I travelled home, I prayed again, but this time in much more polite and thankful terms. Throughout the rest of the day and into the evening, I had no pain at all and messaged house group to tell them the news. I praise God for what he's done through the prayers of faithful friends and in spite of my skepticism and doubts. We worship a God who listens to the prayers of his people and who loves to heal. I don't believe the healing is quite finished yet. I've still had a bit of pain since then, though nothing like on the scale of how it has been over recent weeks. But I've had a very strong sense that God wanted me to claim and proclaim his healing. As it says in Psalm 30, verse 2, Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Charlotte. I'm just going to pray for the kids before they go to their groups. Father God, thank you for each person here, whether we are a few months or into three figures in age. You love us all the same. And we pray that we would all know you more, whether we are in the kids' work, in here, and a particular blessing on all those children for whom you love so dearly. Amen. Off you go, kids. Bet you can't get out of the door as fast as I have the last few weeks. Here in the sanctuary, we will continue with our prayers. Father God, there is so much to pray for. Sometimes it's hard to know where to begin. But I want to start with our world, which you hold so dearly, and we see so much strife. Father, for the situations that we do hear about in the news with Israel, Gaza, we pray for peace. The situations we hear less of for Ukraine, where again we pray for peace. We pray against all forms of terror, as we've seen in Russia in the last few days. And for those conflicts that don't make the news at all. Lord, there in amongst the strife, there is also hope. We thank you for the Nigerian students who were released earlier. And we also recognize how significant a year this is, with 8 of the 10 most populous nations having elections. It's estimated 2 billion people will be voting this year around the countries. Father, we recognize what an opportunity that is for people who hold your values to attain office. And we pray for all the countries, the USA, Senegal, our own country. We pray in Jesus' name that you would raise up the next generation of leaders who are willing to take those positions. Father, we pray in our country, we pray for our royal family. Whatever we think about them, we are aware that they are going through a difficult time. We pray for the King, we pray for the Princess of Wales, and we pray for all of the families surrounding them both, that you would support and help and encourage them at this time. Father, we pray for our community as we start the Easter week and the opportunities for people to hear about your good news at this time. We pray for Christians throughout our nation, but particularly in our community, that people would hear the good news of what you did this week so many years ago. We pray for all the events that we're planning on doing, the I'm Alive course as well, that people would have the opportunity to respond to who you are. A moment's pause for anyone we can think of who needs your touching hand, your healing hand today. And Lord, for ourselves, in newness and living light, remake us to be like you. Help us to walk more closely with you this week and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, do stand if you're able, and we're joined together in our next song.
Glorious name, and blessed be the name of the
Lord, blessed be your name. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our emotions, whatever our week's been like, or what plans we may have for the future, Lord, blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a privilege it is to bless the name that is above every name, the name of the one who came down willingly to be a man on earth for us. Our reading this morning is from John chapter 12, and it describes the identification that we can have with those people when Jesus came into Jerusalem, crying out, Hosanna, blessed be the name. After Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, he comes into Jerusalem as King of Israel to fulfill all that the scriptures had prophesied about him at this, his last Passover. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast of Passover heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm trees and branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written in the scriptures. Do not be afraid, he said, daughter of Zion. See, your king comes, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that all these things had been written about him, and these things had been done to him. Now the people that were with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. But the Pharisees said one to another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." So let us thank the Lord for his precious word and for the fact that Jesus fulfilled to the letter everything that was written about him for our benefit. Amen.
This week, as we approach Easter, we are coming to the end of our series on the Lord's Prayer. It's been our focus during the period of Lent, and I hope that as we have delved deeper into the meanings behind the phrases which Jesus taught us to pray, that we have deepened our own relationship with our Heavenly Father. What we learn about prayer here on a Sunday or in small groups during the week are not things to stay only within those places. They are lessons to take away. They are teachings for us to put into practice. They should be experiences that change us as we surrender more to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, if your life has been really busy over the last few weeks, and I know that is the case for some of you, you may have missed opportunities to reflect on the messages that you've heard. Perhaps there was something that struck you afresh or challenged you in some way. Maybe there was something which stirred your spirit, or something you intended to consider when you had more time. I would urge you to make some time over this next week for contemplation and prayer. Take advantage of the times of quiet prayer that will be happening here in church. Spend some quality time sitting at the feet of Jesus and begin to put into practice all that we have been learning together. And today is Palm Sunday, and we come to our last session on the Lord's Prayer. And I'd like us to consider this not only in the context of the prayer itself, but also in relation to Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so we start at the end of the prayer which Jesus taught us. And we have this phrase, the doxology. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. This phrase with which we conclude the Lord's Prayer is notably absent from most versions of Scripture that we have today. And you may have noticed that as we've read the prayer from both Matthew's and Luke's Gospel many times over the last few weeks. But this phrase can be found in some early manuscripts, and it's more commonly believed that these words were not in the original prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And that is why in some church traditions you won't hear them included when they say the Lord's Prayer. For example, I don't believe it is commonly used by the Roman Catholic Church. I could nod to somebody over there who might be able to help me a bit more on that one. But scholars believe that it was added by the early church and is based on 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. But why, when Jesus gave us the perfect prayer, would anyone feel that we should add to it? One reason that has been suggested is that Jewish tradition was that prayer times should always end with giving praise to God. And some theologians suggest that Jesus didn't include such praise because he expected that it would automatically have been added. Others suggest that the early church may have felt that to end a prayer with a focus on sin, temptation, and the evil one was not how we should come away from our time in God's presence, and so added the doxology. The word doxology means to give glory. And adding this phrase at the end of the prayer turns our focus away from ourselves and our sinfulness and back onto the power and majesty of God. Kevin Ruffcorn says, focusing on these attributes of God gives us reason to hope that the requests we have made in the Lord's Prayer will be answered. Not because of our eloquence, goodness, or degree of need, but because God wants to answer them and is capable of answering them. The doxology forces our attention away from ourselves and onto God. We behold the glory and majesty of God as we end the Lord's Prayer and step out to face the challenges of life. But there is another reason. Think back to the very first session which Richard led when we were thinking about the very first phrase in this prayer, Our Father in Heaven. Do you remember that we were told how Jesus prays this prayer with us? That is because of Jesus that his Father then can become our Father also. Therefore, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying to our Father in heaven with Jesus as he taught us. The Father is the subject and focus of our prayer. But this final phrase was not included by our Lord because this part is a prayer to Jesus. After all, Jesus is the King, and the power and the glory belong to him. Ephesians 1:20. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. How marvellous is that? The power that raises him from the dead belongs to Jesus. And Revelation 5, verses 12 to 13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them, saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The kingdom, the power and the glory are his for ever. And in praying this doxology to the Lord's Prayer, we mirror and affirm the phrases that we prayed at the beginning. We prayed, Your kingdom come. And now we affirm, Yours is the kingdom. We prayed, Your will be done. And now we pray, Yours is the power. Acknowledging that God has the power to accomplish his will. And we prayed, Hallowed be your name. And now we affirm, Yours is the glory. In doing this, we give all the honour and praise back to God, recognising that without him, we are nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Those are the words of Jesus. But we also know that with him, we can do all things. And we read in Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a verse that is really worth remembering. It's a verse that I have written up and put up in my study at home. This prayer, which Jesus taught us, begins by focusing on the glory of God and ends with the same focus. It takes us round in a complete circle. It brings us back to a place where we focus on him rather than ourselves. A place where we put ourselves again at his disposal. A place where we surrender to him. A place where we can say, Thine is the kingdom, rather than mine is the kingdom. A place where we say, Not my will, but yours be done. And this is where we connect into the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And how do they connect, you may ask? Well, just bear with me. Jesus entered Jerusalem to great acclaim, riding on a donkey. We've heard it read. In doing so, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Shout, daughter Jerusalem. And shout they did. The people cheered and praised him as a conquering king. "Hosanna," they shouted. "Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." The city welcomed him with gladness and rejoicing. The streets of the city were made open for him. And Jesus himself received the praise of the people because he deserved it, because he alone is worthy. The people recognized his kingship. They accepted his holy anointing when they shouted, "He who comes in the name of the Lord." They paid homage to him by waving palm branches and spreading these and their coats on the ground before him. And this was a recognized practice in welcoming and acknowledging royalty. "Hosanna," they declared. Hosanna is a word that we associate with praise and adoration. We think of it as an exclamation of joy. But this word was originally used as a cry to God for salvation. It means, "Save us, O Lord." And in this passage, we see the word used both ways, as a joyful acclamation of the Lord who came to save them and to save us. So in this Jesus' final and significant entry into Jerusalem for his final Passover, he is openly declaring by his actions that he is the King and the Messiah that they had been waiting for. He is saying, in effect, that the kingdom and the power and the glory are his. But it was not the kingdom and power and glory that the people were hoping for. They wanted these things on their terms. They wanted their kingdom, their power, and their glory. And when their expectations were not met, when the kingdom of Jesus was seen to be something totally different from the kingdom that they were hoping for, when the physical world remained unchanged and they could not see beyond that into something far more permanent than any earthly kingdom, they turned against him. And the cries of Hosanna turned into cries of "Crucify him." Jesus came to bring a kingdom which is ushered in not by force, but by the power of love. By his loving sacrifice for his people, his love and his grace and his mercy. Here is a quote, but I couldn't find out who had written it. But it says, "His is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He doesn't conquer nations, but hearts and minds. His kingdom is one of peace with God, not of temporal peace. And if Jesus has made a triumphal entry into our hearts, he reigns there in peace and love. And when we, as his followers, exhibit those same qualities, then the world today will see the true King living and reigning in us. I wonder how often we, like those people in Jerusalem, want to see things happen our way. Do we long to see extraordinary signs and wonders? Do we expect that when we pray, people will be healed, that wars will cease, that there will be a revival because we prayed? Do we, like those crowds on the streets in Jerusalem, expect to see the kingdom come with a fanfare of trumpets? Sometimes we see those things. We've heard Charlotte's testimony this morning of how God has been at work and how prayers have been answered. But I wonder how often we are disappointed when what we want doesn't appear to happen. And do we think it's because we should have prayed harder or because we didn't do enough? Remember last week how we considered that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed or a bit of yeast, something small and seemingly insignificant, but something which becomes greater than we could imagine or comprehend. When we want things to happen our way, even if that way seems good, that is sin. Sin has an I in the middle. Sin is when I put I, myself, and me in the centre and do things my way, instead of putting Jesus in the centre and doing things his way. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's way, God's thoughts. The kingdom of God is sometimes described as an upside-down kingdom. It's not what we expect, and we don't often understand it. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. The passage in Isaiah goes on like this: "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Now let's just pause there for a moment. My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. My word. Who is the word? Jesus. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the King, the Word. He will accomplish the purpose for which he was sent. And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. His is the kingdom, the power and the glory through all of time. From the beginning, when he walked this earth, when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, when he was crucified, when he was raised to life again, then, now, and forever. Have you seen him? Have you witnessed him at work? Have you beheld his glory? I urge you, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on him. Trust him. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and you will see his glory, although not always in the way you expect. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you came as King, as Messiah, that you walked amongst us and we beheld your glory. And because of your death and resurrection, we can know you and we can walk with you today. And you walk with us by your Spirit. Pray that you will open our eyes to see you, to see more of you, and to go where you lead, and to do what you would have us do, that all might see you are the King, and yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
Well, do join me as we sing our last song together.
Jesus is Lord, the Proprietor, take us through creation, resplendent by our eternal word, our Lord, the Son of God. Bye.
And so, as we come to the end of our time together this morning, we'd just like to share a couple of things with you. I have two notices here. There's a little booklet here which is called The Easter Journey, which takes you through all of the Holy Week. They are available at the back. You can take one, you can use it for yourself in your meditations over this week, or you can take one and give it to somebody else. And also, we have these little cards that say it is finished. Inside, it has a Good Friday message and an Easter Sunday message. They are for you to give away to somebody else if you would like to take one and do so. And as you go out with those leaflets in your hand, with God's praise on your lips, may you go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you now and remain with you always. Amen. Please do stay and join us for coffee and have a time to share together in the hall.